Well, today is at our downtown campus is Family Sunday, and so we were. It was kind of exciting for the folks downtown to have a chance to have all the kids' choirs come and sing and do quite a lot. So if there's some people that you say, where are they? Like all the kids, they're at our downtown campus this morning, and we're thankful for that chance to kind of be able to be one church, to bless each other between campuses. Now, before I start, I want to say I went to seminary with a guy who, great big tall guy and big guy, and we played intramural football together at Fuller. Do you know they have intramural football in seminary? You have never seen Christians act so unchristian. Amazing. Especially, you know, future pastors. Crazy. Melissa's like, whew, she wouldn't even come to my games. So this guy, Joel, lo and behold, when we got out here to Champaign and I go to my first presbytery meeting, there he is. He's a pastor in this presbytery at some city that I don't know any cities in Champaign. I mean, in Illinois except Champaign. But he's down south somewhere. And we got to talking about preaching, and he says, you know, I've stumbled across something that's amazing. I don't write my sermons out anymore. I mean, I still work on them and I think about it, but I go up there with nothing. And people say they like it better. And so I told him, well, I tried that once and I preached for 38 minutes. And he said, well, keep trying it. It gets better. So I'm going to try it again today. I'm just kidding. Sort of. So I think I've told you before about the block house. That was the squatty, one-story cinder block house I lived in college. And it was a one-bedroom place, and four guys lived there. And the bathroom was gross. Actually, so was the kitchen. It was all pretty gross. And it was owned by the Wesley Foundation, which was the campus ministry that I was real active in. And so, you know, it was kind of a hangout spot. And on the nights when we had our worship, everybody would come back there afterwards, and it was really a lot of fun. So one day, we started noticing this kind of scraggly guy hanging around the Wesley Foundation. He would he was there for a couple of days, and you know he'd ask somebody for money, and then he'd kind of, you know, 30 minutes later he'd be back, and he'd ask somebody different for a little money, and he kept appearing over a couple of days, And one of my friends, who's a lot more generous and compassionate than me, actually went to the store and bought him like two big bags of groceries and said, here you go. I mean, the guy had said he wasn't homeless, but he just didn't have any money. So a friend gave him all his groceries and then drove him to his home to drop it off because it was a good walk away. So one day, I'm sitting in the blockhouse, just kind of listening to music and hanging out, and all of a sudden, there's a knock on the door. And I go and I open the door, and there's this guy. And this was literally like the day after my friend had given him all these groceries. And here he is, he's back, asking for more. So I open the door, kind of roll my eyes, and he starts his speech. And I hold my hand up. You know, the righteous indignation in me is just flowing. Stop. What do you think we are, a food bank? Get out of here. I know they gave you food yesterday. I can't help you. Please stop coming by. I walk back inside. I'm feeling all good. I thwarted the forces of vagrancy and laziness. Sat down, and the very next song that comes on the radio is Keith Green. Any of you guys ever listened to Keith Green out there? He was like the original Christian music maker guy. And the song is, it's basically a dramatic reading of the sheep and the goats parable. So as I sit on my couch, here's Keith Green saying, you know, quoting Jesus, and God will say to the unrighteous, when I was naked, you didn't clothe me. When I was in prison, you never came and visited me. And when I was hungry, you didn't feed me. I'm sitting on the couch, and I've never in my life had such an intense feeling of failure. I hated myself in that moment. I was too embarrassed to even ask for forgiveness. I sat there kind of listening to the song, not even knowing what to do, and I finally jump up and I run out the door, and I'm running down the street looking for the guy. He disappeared. I never found him. Well, here's the thing that I know clearly. God cares about the hungry and the poor in a special and unique way. I've said before, I think God loves them more than he loves me. That sounds funny, but I think you get the meaning. The Bible is just so full of stories of God responding to the needs of the hungry. Any of you guys listen to U2? Maybe not Keith Green, but U2. You know who that is? Yeah, Jeff, all right. U2, the lead singer is Bono, and Bono has, the last bunch of years, kind of made it his personal campaign to address issues like hunger in third world countries. And I read an interview with Bono where he said, there are over 2,000 verses in the Bible that talk about hunger and poverty. 2,000. Now, you can go and count for yourself if you want, but I had the privilege once of hearing a guy named Jim Wallace speak. And he's the president of Sojourners, I think, and that's a kind of a social justice, a social advocacy group. Jim Wallace, when he speaks, he likes to bring this Bible with him. And he tells a story of learning how serious the issue of poverty and hunger is to God. He started reading his Bible one day and noticing this theme coming up again and again. So he took a pair of scissors and he started cutting out the verses that talk about it. So from cover to cover, anything that mentions poverty, hunger, people that are lacking, cut it out. Just cut it right out of there. And then he holds this Bible in the air, and it's tattered. I mean, it looks like it's holding together by a thread. Most of it's gone. By a thread. That's kind of how people who don't have access to food, that's kind of how they hold on to life. By a thread. In our story, the story that I'm sure you're familiar with this morning, I think the case is pretty clear. I mean, it's not a profound story. Let me give you a little background, though. God has rescued the people of Israel from Egypt. And you remember the seven plagues. I mean, God does all this amazing stuff to get Pharaoh to let them go from centuries of slavery. And then as they're leaving, Pharaoh changes his mind. Here comes the Egyptian army. God parts the Red Sea so that they can escape. And then they get out into the wilderness and they're wandering and they start to gripe and complain. You know, God, it was better in slavery. It was better because at least then we had lots of food. We had lamb stew, it says. Well, that's Eugene Peterson's version, but we had plenty to eat. Now we're out here in the desert. We're going to starve. I mean, God just parted a sea. And they're worried about God feeding them. It's a good thing I'm not God, because I would have said, eat sand then, big whiny babies. In eight verses, it says they grumbled. It uses the word grumbling seven times. But God heard them. Moses tells Aaron, go and tell the people, go and tell those hungry people, come near to God. He heard your cry. It's almost as if God hears the rumblings of their stomach. Like God felt that pain right with them. And when he would have been perfectly justified to say, don't you remember what I just did for you? Instead, he says, I'm going to feed you. I'm going to take care of you. I think that's the first and most important point. God hears the cry of the hungry. He knows their need, and he gives them food. My question for you, do we hear the cry of the hungry? You know, right here in Champaign, 16% of the population lives below the poverty line. That means that realistically, there's just no way to make ends meet. 16% deal with hunger on an everyday basis. Do we hear the cry of the hungry? God's heard it. God hears their ache. He hears their stomachs rumble. And then he looks at us. He looks at us as if to say, well, what are you going to do about it? God still feeds the hungry today, but he does it through the body of Christ, and that's us. God feeds the hungry through the church, who he has created to be the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. Well, I want to introduce you to somebody this morning who is feeding the hungry in Champaign County. I'm going to invite Shannon Cook. Is that right? Did I say that right? Shannon is going to come join me up here on stage. Shannon is the director of Empty Tomb, and that was the video that kind of stopped midway through this morning. Come on up here, if you don't mind. Can you? Good view, isn't it? Here, I'm going to give you this one.
This is why God calls certain people.
Well, Shannon, I want to ask you just a couple of questions. First of all, can you give us a brief overview of what Empty Tomb does?
Yes. We are...
Hold that a little closer to you.
Okay. Empty Tomb gives Christians opportunity to do just what the pastor's been talking about, and that's carrying out your faith, your abundance to the poor. And so we have the opportunities of home maintenance, which is repairing owners' homes, Christian health services, which is medical help on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 9 to noon, Christian family-to-family relationships. One family would help support another Christian's family goal. Furniture work, which is volunteers to pick up and deliver furniture to families. Food works, which is churches volunteer to deliver food to the needy. Cloth works, which volunteers sort clothes to put out for the people that need clothes. And we have a helping work, which caseworkers refer us, for people that are in need for power bill or some bill that needs to be paid that they couldn't pay. And we also have a helping appointments, which we help up to $30 toward a bill on Mondays, and we can help 8 people a week.
Great.
And we also have our global missions, which is Mission Match.
Awesome. Yeah, this one works. Now, we're talking about hunger. All of those things are great. But tell me a little more about what your goals are as far as helping feed families here in Champaign.
The food work, we set it up to where we need all the Christian churches to help meet this need, though. Churches sign up, and then our goal is to feed 22 families a week.
Okay.
And so that's 88 families a month.
Great. And are you able to meet that goal at this point?
No. Actually, last month, at the beginning of the year, we haven't been able to meet that goal at all. We haven't been able. I was thinking like once or something like that, but no, we haven't.
Okay. Tell me some ways that people like this could get involved helping out at Empty Tomb.
Well, you can call Empty Tomb, and we will set up a orientation for you, and we would give you the list of things and the opportunity that you would fit your schedule, what have you. Majority of the time, we have a lot of Christians that come on Saturdays, but we're really needing the ones throughout the week, especially with the food work.
Mm-hmm. Kind of delivering food.
Delivering food throughout the community. And those come through caseworkers also.
Okay.
So they already screen the families, per se.
Okay.
So, and we help families every 90 days, so it's not the same family. So
I understand. Mm-hmm. Last question. How can we be praying for you and for Empty Tomb?
Well, I have a list. Please pray for the oneness in the body of Christ, as Jesus prayed for in John 17 and 21 through 23. As we Christians in Champaign-Urbana cooperate to reach out in Jesus' name to those in need, and the things that I had listed.
Yeah, absolutely.
As we strive to encourage congregations to increase their mission outreach, particularly focused on those overseas who have such a great need, please pray for the success of our discipleship tree effort to replenish the Mission Match funds offered to congregations across the U.S. Please pray for the full funding of Empty Tomb work.
Absolutely.
That's it. Thank
great.
You.
Can I pray for you right now?
Yes, please.
That would be great. God, thank you. Thank you so much for Shannon and the work that she coordinates at Empty Tomb. And as a body of Christ, we stand together and we ask, God, that you would provide abundantly through groups like Empty Tomb who are trying to do what we know you've called us to do, which is to feed those who are hungry, to care for those in need. We ask that you would give us generous spirits so that we could be your hands and feet in a way that honors what you have given us and honors who you have asked us to be. Again, thank you for Empty Tomb, and strengthen and encourage all of the people who work there, and continue to guide them in their efforts to make a difference in Champaign. Through Christ, amen.
Amen.
Thanks, Sharon.
Thank you.
I am better than the mic. There, got it. Okay. You know what? In the next over the next 6 weeks, you're going to hear about several other things like Empty Tomb, ways that we are partnering with our community to try to make a difference. The thing that we are confident of, maybe compelled by, is the fact that we are called to do that. As we think about this, you know, the story, as we think about that fact that God has asked us to be the body of Christ that goes into the world to feed the hungry, I want to share with you a story. Melissa and I, back in February, got to go to a conference in Florida. We weren't just on vacation, but it was a mission conference. I got to hear a guy named Tony Hall speak, and Tony is a former congressman from Ohio. I think he spent 24 years as a congressman, and his main issue, he was a tireless advocate for hunger issues around the world. And after he left that, he became the UN ambassador for the World Food Program. And he said something, he told an amazing story to us. He talked about going to Ethiopia in the mid-80s during the famine. I'm sure you remember seeing pictures. The pictures that I remember seeing don't come close to describing what he saw. He got to drive into this refugee camp, and he described seeing tens of thousands of people sitting around this little fenced Red Cross compound. Thousands of people on the verge of starving to death. So little energy, so little food, that they literally just sat and waited. Waited to either be fed or to die. So we got to go into this camp, and in the morning he walked out with the doctor. The doctor walked out into this sea of starving humanity and picked 6 kids to feed. That's all they had. They had enough to feed 6 kids. So he picked the 6 that he thought had the best chances to make it. And he had to say no to thousands of kids who he didn't think had a chance. And the doctor had to do that every single day. When Shannon mentioned praying for the global need of hunger, it is a global need. So when I think about what does God ask us to do, you know what? I don't think guilt is what this story is meant to move us to. I think God has a couple of things that he wants to say to us through this story. First of all, I think God wants us to be grateful for what we have. You know, just like God provided for the Israelites, God's provided for us. There's another section in the Bible where it says, everything we have comes from God. We are a group of people that's been blessed richly. And I don't think we need to be embarrassed about that. I don't think we need to feel guilty for that. But at the same time, I am absolutely convinced that we need to buy into the vision. This story reminds us that God hears the cry of the hungry. And God asks us to hear it too. And when we hear it, when we're listening with God's ears, and we hear that cry, I know there's no way. There's no way that you'll do what I did to the guy at my door. So Moses says to Aaron, say to the people, say to those who are hungry, come near to God. He's heard your cry, and he's going to feed you. Let's pray. God, this morning we think about our neighbors in Champaign who are hungry. We think about those who don't have enough. God, we pray for the students who go to school in the morning without having had anything to eat, who can't concentrate, who can't really learn because they don't. The only thing they can think about is the growling in their stomach. God, we think about people in our community who may be senior citizens who are living on a fixed income. God, we pray for people who have to make hard choices, like maybe choosing between their insulin or healthy food. God, we pray that you would pour out your blessing on ministries like Empty Tomb, who are trying to stand in the gap for those people and feed them. And God, we pray that you would guide us, your people, your body in the world. Guide us. Give us ears to hear the cry of the hungry. And give us the courage and the creativity to find ways to feed them. In Christ's name, amen.